If you'd like, you can turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23, which is where we'll be this morning. We'll be looking at this very familiar psalm. I think probably everyone has heard this psalm, maybe memorized it, or at least heard of the 23rd psalm. And I think it's important, though, as familiar as it is, it's important for us to reflect on what David writes here in this psalm, because I think it's an accurate statement that throughout this life, it is so easy with the different situations that come up. It's so easy to feel like everything is upside down. Nothing is going the way that we had planned. Everything is wildly unpredictable. And in the midst of that kind of life, which I think we all experience, it's important for us to hear the call of our shepherd. It's calm, it's constant, and it's steadfast. And it gives us the peace that we need to navigate this life in a way that allows us to experience that peace that our shepherd wants his sheep to feel. And so I pray that as we go through this psalm, that we will be reminded of just the absolute blessing that it is to have the Lord as our shepherd. You know, David, the writer of this psalm, was himself a shepherd. So it's important for us to keep that in mind because David knew well the responsibilities of the shepherd. David knew that the flock is entirely dependent on the shepherd. He knew that when he wrote this psalm. And David knew how to properly care for the flock. He knew how to properly care for the flock, and David knew that the lives of the flock, the well-being of the flock, depended on the shepherd. And so with that experience in mind, David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." That's what we read in verse 1. That sets the stage for the entire psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And here's the point that David is beginning with right out of the gate. With Yahweh as my shepherd, I am fully and perfectly cared for. Completely. Now, let's just think for a moment. It's clear that the well-being of the flock depends entirely on who the shepherd is. So, for example, if the shepherd is distracted or tired or weak or lazy, the flock will feel the impact of that. Agreed? If the shepherd doesn't really care about the flock, or say the shepherd goes out and doesn't really know how to care for the flock's going to feel the impact of that. Which is why it's so important to recognize that David says the Lord, and we've mentioned this, when you see the Lord in the ESV in all caps, he's speaking of Yahweh. Yahweh is our shepherd. We've been hearing a lot about Yahweh as we've been working through the series in Genesis. Yahweh is the God who spoke all of creation into existence. Yahweh is the God who keeps and sustains all things. If we were to read through the Psalms, even just the ones that surround this passage, David refers to Yahweh as his refuge, his rock, his shield. Yahweh. Yahweh is the God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, deep in compassion and mercy and love for his people. Yahweh is the God who never, ever sleeps or slumbers and knows no weakness. And David says, that Yahweh is my shepherd. And with that Yahweh as our shepherd, we are fully, entirely, perfectly cared for. Brothers and sisters, the care that our shepherd has for us flows from his love for us. And it flows with absolute and perfect wisdom. Our shepherd knows exactly what we need, exactly when we need it. And he loves to care for his sheep. The quality of his care does not depend on us. He doesn't see some sheep as more worthy and some sheep as less worthy of his care. He cares for all of his sheep with perfect love and perfect wisdom. This is God's promise to his people. He is our shepherd. Yahweh is our shepherd. And we are fully and perfectly cared for. This is the truth. This is a promise. And as the psalm unfolds, we begin to see the many various ways that our shepherd Yahweh cares for us as his sheep. And the first thing that we see as we look at verse 2 is that our shepherd gives us rest. He gives us rest. Look at verse 2. We read, he, Yahweh, makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And there's a picture here that David is painting for us. This picture of green pastures and still or calm waters. It's a picture of quietness, of calmness, stillness. And it's a picture of what is needed in order for sheep to be able to rest. All provision is provided. There's food. There's water. There's security. The very things that are required for rest so that we can stop and rest are provided for. They're there. They're present so that the sheep can rest. And brothers and sisters, we need this rest. We need to settle into this rest. Because we live in a world that is constantly, continuously groaning and striving and sinning. We live in a world that is trying so hard to find satisfaction and comfort and provision and security and rest, while at the same time refusing to worship the very God who created it all. That's the world that we have been born into. In other words, we are born into a world that is actively at war with its creator, a world that is constantly fighting against God as the creator, but always looking for the very things that God promises. And as Christians, it is possible, it is easy for us to get sucked into this way of thinking, that there is some kind of rest in this world apart from the Creator. We can get caught in that way of thinking, if I just had this, if I could just get that, or if we could just get past this point in our life, or if these things would just fall into place, or if that would just happen, then everything would be secure. Then I could have rest. Then I could find comfort and satisfaction. But the truth is, brothers and sisters, this world that is at war with its creator will leave us exhausted and cannot provide rest. It cannot do it. It can only leave us restless and wondering. We need to hear the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in Matthew when he says, "Come to me, all who labor, all who are heavy laden, come to me. I will lead you to the Father. I will give you rest for your weary souls." We need to hear Paul's words in Romans 8 when he says, "There is now no condemnation for all who are in Jesus Christ, because we have peace with God." We need these truths. We need to know that we can come and that we are welcomed into the presence of God. That is the rest that our shepherd provides for us, welcoming us into his presence, welcoming us into his favor, into his full acceptance. Come and rest in the presence of our God. Come and rest in the presence of Yahweh, our shepherd. When we are able to rest, when we are able to come into the green pastures and come beside the still waters that are in the presence of God himself, it puts all of our other labors in perspective. It puts everything else in life in perspective when we think and live from the rest that we have in Christ. Come into that rest. Come into that rest. Our shepherd welcomes us there. He gives us perfect provision and perfect protection in Christ. He gives us true rest as his sheep. We need that rest. I don't know what's going to happen in the days ahead, but I can guarantee one thing. This world is only going to seem more restless. And there's only going to be more reason for us to realize that true rest is only found in the presence of God. We go on to verse 3, and we see that another way that we are cared for is that our shepherd, he rescues us. Verse 3 says this, "Yahweh, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And this phrase, restoring our soul, has to do with the idea of retrieving us. This word is also translated repent, or return, or turn from. When we are lost as straying sheep, wandering around on wayward paths, our shepherd retrieves us. He restores us. He rescues us. And on one hand, in the most significant sense, this rescue has to do with God retrieving us from the lost path of unrighteousness and condemnation, retrieving us from that wayward path, wrapping us in the righteousness and the salvation of Christ, and placing us on the new path, the narrow path, the path of life. Our shepherd rescues his sheep. He restores his sheep. He retrieves his sheep. And it is such a comfort to know that with Yahweh as our shepherd, we can never again, even as foolish, ignorant, sinful sheep, we can never again wander back onto the path of condemnation. He has rescued us once and for all from that path. But there's another way that this passage or this verse here applies to us even as rescued sheep. Because our shepherd doesn't just stop at placing us on the right path. Our shepherd continues his gracious and loving and patient work of restoring and renewing his sheep. He continues, once he has saved us, he continues to open our eyes to the sin that still exists. He continues to open our eyes to the sin that destroys relationships, the sin in our lives that continually hurts and devastates the people around us, the sin in our lives that continues to hinder our worship of God Himself, our patient shepherd. He opens our eyes more and more to the damage and the tragedy and the devastation of sin that is in our lives. That's His restoring work in His sheep. And as He does that, He continues to place us on the path that is the right and firm path of loving God and loving others. As He opens our eyes to sin on one hand, He opens our eyes to the beauty of loving Him and loving others, laying down our lives the way that Christ has laid down His life for us. This is the shepherd's continuing work in the lives of His sheep, restoring us, retrieving us when we wander down the wayward and dangerous path, bringing us back over and over and over again to the beautiful path of love for God and for those around us. He continues to shape our minds, our attitudes, our actions, our decisions. He continues to shape us with His word and conforms us to the image of Christ. It is good for us to desire the path of righteousness. It is good for us to desire the path of truth and love. But brothers and sisters, how often do we fight? How patient is our shepherd? How often do we embrace the wayward path of selfishness, of self-worship and self-love? How often do we find ourselves on that path? And how often do we dig in our feet and try to stay on that path as our loving shepherd patiently guides us back to His love? What a patient shepherd we have. What a patient shepherd who is not deterred in the least by our disobedience, but constantly, steadfastly continues His rescuing, retrieving, restoring work. And we read at the end of this verse that this work that God does in His sheep is for His name's sake. The name of God, the name Yahweh, is exalted in His sheep as He performs His rescuing work. We heard in the Sermon on the Mount that we are called to proclaim the excellencies of God, to shine the light of God into this dark world. And that is God's work in us, shining His light through His people to the point that the world even sees this light and recognizes that it is Yahweh at work. Light shining in a dark world. God's amazing work in His people, showing the world how powerful He is to restore and rescue sinful sheep. And here's the challenge that we come up against. As God is doing this work in us, as God is restoring His sheep and shining His light through us as His people, we become more and more aware of just how dark this world really is. As the light shines, the darkness is exposed. And so we need to take this next verse to heart. We need this next verse to encourage us. Because in this verse, we see that our shepherd, he comforts us. He comforts us. Verse 4 says that, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, Yahweh, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And the valley of the shadow of death, it could also be called just the valley of pitch black darkness. And in the broad sense, it includes all of the trials and bitter struggles of this life. All of the challenges and the heavy weights that we experience. And this isn't an if statement. This is a when statement. We all together are walking through this dark valley. We are all experiencing the weight. There is nobody would argue this point. We are all experiencing the weight and the sting and the pain of living in the dark valley. Sometimes we even feel it heavier as God's people shining as light. And as we walk through this valley, particularly as we walk through this dark valley as God's people, we can begin to feel frustrated or timid or hesitant or angry or anxious or afraid. David knew this valley well. He knew this valley well. And in the face of heavy trials and bitter struggles, we can say with David, with Yahweh as our shepherd, we will fear no evil because our shepherd is with us. I'd like you to think for just a moment. Maybe you've been in a crowded room or a crowded place, heaven forbid, Disney World or something like that. But maybe you've been, or in the city, maybe you've been in a place where there are so many people and you have your children and you know the urgency of the phrase, hold on to my hand. Because the most fearful thing that you can imagine in that situation is that somehow you would become separated from your child. And the most fearful situation that that child could ever experience is to become separated from their parent. And so we say, hold on to my hand as we grasp their hand firmly. We know the fear that would happen, that would take place if there were some sort of separation there. And this is the comfort that we have as we walk through this dark valley. The comfort of God's guaranteed presence. We are not in this valley alone. Oftentimes, Yahweh comforts us with people that he surrounds us with. We heard about Jabalani. What a comfort, what a joy he was to the people around him. So often, God surrounds us with people that remind us that we are not in this valley alone. We need that encouragement. We need that comfort that comes from being surrounded by God's people. Don't try to walk through this valley without that. But Yahweh's presence to you as his sheep is not dependent on the people around you. If everyone in this room were to disappear and you were here alone, you are not truly alone. You cannot be alone because Yahweh is with you. Paul knew this. In prison, he was able to rejoice when even his own brothers in Christ had turned and were causing problems for him. He knew he was not alone. David knew this. It's a truth that God wants us to know. We cannot be alone. Ever. The rod and the staff, God's comforting presence remind us continuously that we are not alone. We will never, ever know what it is like to be alone. We cannot know that. As God's sheep, we will never know what it is like to lose the hand of our Father. This is a truth that we must cling to. And it's a truth that Jesus guarantees for us. Because he does know what it's like to be separated from the Father. He cried out at the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? I don't want to imply even for a minute that we can wrap our minds around what is going on there. But simply to say this, the depth of anguish and distress and separation that our Lord and Savior was feeling at that moment. He was feeling that for us. He was feeling that for us so that we would never have to feel that, ever. So that we could rejoice and worship in this dark valley with all the pain, with all the struggle, knowing with absolute certainty that God is with us and he will never leave us or forsake us. That's the comfort that we need if we're going to face the fear and the doubt and the anxiety that come with heavy trials and bitter struggles. As one commentator put it, David doesn't say that we won't feel evil. We'll feel it. We'll feel it. But he says we don't need to fear it because our shepherd is with us. And in verse 5, we see that not only is he with us, but he blesses us. Verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And the picture here is like being the guest of honor at a feast. The host has laid out his table for you. And he's showing you his favor by pouring oil on over you, the oil of blessing over you in the midst of all the other onlookers. That's the picture. And the point is, God has chosen to bless his sheep with overflowing abundance. Now, there's an earthly aspect to this that we don't want to overlook. Yes, God meets our earthly needs. Yes, God watches over us in this earthly life. We know that every good and perfect gift comes from God. We know that God promises to watch over us and to care for us in this life as he sees what we need. And he uses perfect wisdom and perfect knowledge to meet our needs on his, according to what he sees as right. We know that. But the abundant blessing of Yahweh is not limited to or limited by this life, this earthly realm. Because God, Almighty Yahweh, blesses on a much deeper level. On a spiritual level. On this level, Yahweh blesses us with things like undeserved grace, unending mercy, complete forgiveness, living hope, eternal life, love that surpasses knowledge, and peace that surpasses understanding. These are the blessings that Yahweh loves to lavish on his people. And it is true that we are surrounded by a world. We are surrounded by darkness that would love to sow seeds of doubt into our minds. And so often our very flesh joins in the chorus. You're not good enough to be blessed by Yahweh. You haven't done enough. You're failing. You're weak. You're helpless. You're hopeless. You need to try harder. You need to be better. You need to be more, but you'll never be good enough. These are all true, by the way. But that isn't why Yahweh pours out his blessings on us. He does it because that's what he does as a shepherd. As Almighty God, this is what he has chosen to do. And anyone that would attempt to rob God's blessings from us, the spiritual blessings that are guaranteed in Christ, anyone who would attempt to rob these from us must take the place of an onlooker to the outside, looking in, watching as God intentionally, lavishly blesses his people. It's what he does as our God. To paraphrase Paul in 1 Corinthians, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. What a promise. What a promise. We are a blessed people. Our cup, it overflows. It may not feel like it, but it does. Our cup overflows. And so we've seen that our shepherd, he gives us true rest. We've seen that he is a rescuing shepherd. He rescues and restores his sheep. We are comforted by his presence in the dark valley, never fearing that he will ever forsake us, because he will not. And we are so abundantly blessed by this shepherd. God's care for his sheep is absolutely perfect and absolutely complete. We are fully cared for. And then in verse 6, we see that this perfect, complete care of Yahweh is permanent. It's locked in. Look at verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And the word follow here is much better understood as pursue or chases. In other words, our good shepherd, he won't leave us alone. He is constant and persistent in pursuing us with his blessings, with his grace, with his goodness, with his mercy. He is constantly chasing us down to pour out his blessings on us all the days of our lives. He loves to care for us. He loves to love us. And so he pursues us all the days of our lives. And he keeps us permanently. He has gathered us into his kingdom. He has numbered us among his flock. And he will keep us there for all eternity. So that we, brothers and sisters, we can say with David, the Lord, Yahweh, he is our shepherd. We are fully, completely, perfectly cared for. He pursues us with goodness and mercy every single day of our life. And we will live, with him forever. May that promise of Yahweh as our shepherd, may that be the source of peace that we need to walk as God's people through this life that is so full of struggle. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this promise that we have. I pray that you would help us to just to embrace this truth that you are our shepherd. You have cared for us perfectly, fully, completely. Lord, may we, as we go through life, may we just rest assured that we are never alone, that we are perfectly cared for, and that we can look forward to that day when we will enter into your presence forever. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.